The next question is another issue, which is the patient who has had chemo radiation therapy and on imaging has radiation changes. Okay, so asymptomatic, and the audience is really split about what to do. My understanding is that almost everybody who gets chemo radiation will have changes radiologically. So theoretically, I guess the people in the trial had it. Would that, if the patient was asymptomatic, but had radiologic changes compatible with radiation, Corey, would that get you to not use durvalumab?
No, I'd still use it. In the absence of symptoms, it's symptomatic pneumonitis that I think would deter me.
Depends on the extent of the pneumonitis. If you only have local reaction, I think I would completely agree. If you have a vast reaction, I would be careful.
So Alice, Dr. Picton, first of all, she believes, based on her clinical experience, that patients with COPD are more likely to have pneumonitis related to checkpoint inhibitors. I'm going to ask you whether you think that's true or not. But she has this patient, 67-year-old woman, wants to be treated, who has stage 3B disease, but she has not only COPD, but she's on oxygen. So, Alice, durvalumab or not?
I would say yes. I don't exclude patients based on having COPD. And I can't say in my practice that I feel like those with COPD have a higher risk of that. If they have underlying interstitial lung disease, that's different. Some evidence of fibrosis, sure. But COPD on its own, no, I don't use that.
I mean, I have a higher risk of a COPD flare.
Sure.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that, you know, it's pretty hard to separate out, really, as we've been talking about, actually what's going on. Matt, you've written a lot, you've studied a lot this issue of pneumonitis with checkpoint inhibitors. How do you approach patients who are on a checkpoint inhibitor, have respiratory symptoms, in terms of trying to figure out, is it, you know, comorbidity or the actual checkpoint inhibitor?
It's really a challenge. I think it's hard to differentiate progressive cancer from infection, from pneumonitis. So we'd acknowledge the challenge. I think Martin was absolutely right that imaging is key. And it's really a CT scan. A chest x-ray, I don't think, is particularly helpful, either for seeing pneumonitis or for differentiating what's what. Oftentimes, especially in someone who's sick, someone who's hospitalized, we end up treating all of it simultaneously. And it's not particularly satisfying until they're better. And then, you know, it's not as elegant as we'd hope, but if they're better, so be it. So I'll take it. I've done that a lot, where we're treating antibiotics and steroids simultaneously. It doesn't feel great, but if they get better, I'll take it.
I am kind of curious about your clinical experiences, Jeff, particularly in terms of pneumonitis. And again, you're layering in a new therapy as a patient is recovering from a pretty significant therapy. What are you seeing in your practice?
The main reason I'm not using durvalumab post-chemo rads is the patient says, I'm just not up for it today, doc. Can we check in again in a month? And then they defer again, and then they recur, right? And so I just find that patients kind of want to be done, and you need to work on them to say, look, this makes a difference. Today's the day. Let's get started. This is part of your treatment.
And what are you seeing, Jeff, in terms of how it plays out? I know it's early, but in terms of tolerability of durvalumab in this setting?
I've only had a couple. It's tolerable. Okay. I haven't had any home runs yet. I've had some recurrences. We got to try it a little bit more.
Corey?
About 10 patients so far. Remarkably little toxicity, but only 2 to 6 months into treatment. By and large, pretty well tolerated.